after Esther is selected to be the next queen by Achashverosh, so there is a maisa, an episode, where Mordechai is in the Sha'ar HaMelech. He's in the gates of the palace. What's Mordechai doing there? Pasuk tells us that he has a somewhat dual purpose. On the one hand, he's there to check on Esther. So the pasuk in the beginning says, "V'chol yom v'yom Mordechai mishalich lifnei chatzar beis hanashim l'da'as shalom Esther u'ma ye'yaseh ba." So this is before Esther's chosen, but she's been selected to be one of the contestants in Achashverosh's queen pageant. And the language of the pasuk is that Mordechai was there l'da'as shalom Esther u'ma ye'yaseh ba, the peace of Esther, how she was doing, u'ma ye'yaseh ba, and what he will do with her. So, well, what exactly are the two points that are going on over here? So if you look at Rashi, Rashi says, "Maya yasaba ze echad mishnei tzadikim shenitin lahem remez Yeshua," that Mordechai had some sort of sense, some sort of divine inspiration here, that he knew that there was going to be some sort of Yeshua, some sort of salvation that was going to be brought about by Esther. Why else would this tzadekes be taken in such a strange context to become the queen and have to marry Achashverosh? Must be there's something going on over here. That's what Rashi says. The Vilna Gaon has an interesting point. The Vilna Gaon writes, "Vadas es shalom Esther, u'ma ye'yaseh ba." Shahai Mordechai mitzdar al shnei devarim. There's a double language here of shalom Esther, how she was doing, how what's the peace of Esther, u'ma ye'yaseh ba, what he will do with her. So where is Rashi ma ye'yaseh ba? So that may refer to simply what HaKadosh Baruch Hu's plan for Esther. The Gerua writes that Mordechai was bothered by 2 points. Number one, that he knew that Esther was a tzadekes gedola, a tremendously righteous individual, and anything that was good for the Rasha would certainly be bad for her. And she was psychologically in a rough situation. He was concerned she shouldn't become physically sick because of the great stress that she was going through. That was point number one. And also, he was concerned that what was going to be with Esther because she violated one of the king's rules. When was that? Pasuk earlier tells us that the king was looking for contestants for his beauty pageant, and Pasuk says, "V'hibihi shoma devar hamelech v'daso," when the word of the king and his das, his rule, his instructions, were heard. So, what are the 2 points? The devar hamelech and his law, isn't that the same thing? What the word said is the word of the king is that Esther, or anyone that's available to be that qualifies for the pageant, should present themselves to the officers of the king. So, what's the law? Law is the same thing. The Vilna Gaon points out there were 2 points. Number one is that the king instructed that everyone should make themselves available for this pageant. But then when the king saw not everyone was coming, the king made a rule that if you don't obey, so then it's at the threat of death. One could be executed. So originally Esther was hiding. But when she realized that it was at the threat of death, so then she came out of hiding, and then she was taken against her will. But she at least had to present herself. So the Vilna Gaon points out Mordechai was concerned that nothing should happen to Esther because she disobeyed the rule of the king originally. But it's interesting. So the Vilna Gaon says there were 2 points. Number one, that he was afraid that Esther would become physically sick. And number two, maybe she would get in trouble for violating the original decree. So here the Vilna Gaon has a very interesting point that he makes. When Esther finally goes to the king, so it says she didn't request anything. She didn't request to be dressed up. She didn't request jewels, some sort of gown, nothing. Whatever Hegei, who was in charge of the women, whatever he said she should do, so she followed orders. But she didn't request the thing. So Vilna Gaon says, you see from here that she totally was not interested in this whatsoever. She wasn't interested in being chosen. In fact, she wanted to be rejected. Being rejected wasn't so great, however. It's interesting, if you look at the Pesukim, you'll notice that originally the women all start with Hege. But once they go to the king, the Pasuk says that they would return to a fellow named Sha'ashgaz. Who's Sha'ashgaz? Sris HaMelech Shomer HaPilag Shim. He was one of the king's servants, but he was the Shomer HaPilag Shim. He was in charge of the well-being of the concubines of the king. So why is every single woman that spends the night with Ahasuerus returning to the place, returning to Sha'ashgaz? Why isn't she going back to where she came from? Hege, who was in charge of the Beis HaNashim, where the women were preparing themselves to meet Ahasuerus, why are they going to the house of the concubines? So the Vilna Gaon points out that, in fact, similar to the halacha, that a woman who is a pilegesh of the king or has been with the king, a Jewish king, so she's forbidden it to everyone else. So too, that was apparently a rule even there in Persia, in Paras and Madai, that whoever was with the king automatically became a pilegesh, a concubine, and she was not allowed to marry anybody else. So you can imagine how terrible the situation is for Esther. Not only is she having the potential, there's a possibility she'll be chosen as queen and have to stay married to Ahasuerus forever, but even if she's not chosen, unless she somehow can get herself thrown out of the palace, so then she's going to end up being stuck as a pilegesh anyhow. So there's a famous chazal where chazal say that Esther was Irak Rokes. Esther was green. Usually this is interpreted to mean that Esther wasn't physically beautiful, and or alternatively that she had a certain beauty to her, but she had like an olive complexion, perhaps a more Mediterranean type of style, something like that. There was some quality that was greenish about her. So the Vilna Gaon points out that the Psukim, the Pashup Shad in Parakbis, says that she was beautiful. The Hanari Fas Toar Vitovas Mare. She was beautiful. Physically beautiful. So how can Chazal go against the simple explanation of the Psukim? There's no drush on the Psukim. There's nothing that indicates from that pasuk that she wasn't beautiful. So what's going on? So the Vilna Gaon says Pshat and Esther becoming green was that it meant she was sickly looking. Why was she sickly looking? Well, originally she wasn't. She was physically very beautiful. However, once she was taken to the Beis HaNashim, she was taken to the palace of Ahasuerus, and she was psychologically so bothered by everything that was happening. So then she became physically sick, and she became sickly looking. And that's what it means that Esther was green. And she became so sickly looking because of the stress of the situation. So once she's taken to meet Ahasuerus finally, so that's when the pasuk says that the Esther noses chein beinei kol ro'eha, the Esther found favor in the eyes of everyone who saw her. So what exactly is the point of that pasuk over here? She found favor in the eyes of everyone who saw her? So the Vilna Gaon seems to be saying that that's exactly the point. Now it's not that everyone thought she was beautiful, it's that now she wasn't beautiful. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu pulled off a miracle that everyone that looked at her saw a certain, that she found favor in their eyes, that it was a ploy, it was a trick, it was a nace by HaKadosh Baruch Hu that they should see her in a certain way, despite the fact that physically she was no longer had that beauty because she was sickly looking. So Esther becomes the queen, and she's taken Tachas Vashti. And there's one more story that the truth is the turning point of Megillas Esther, and we wouldn't even notice it if we didn't pay close attention. In those days, so Mordechai was still sitting Bishar HaMelech. He was in the gates of the king by the palace, and he either overheard or divinely was informed about an assassination plot by these two fellows, Bigson and Teresh, who apparently were two of the servants of the king. So what does Mordechai do? So Mordechai goes ahead and he tells Esther. So what does Esther do now? Well, one of the dangers that Esther has is that she doesn't want to create any jealousy by the king, and she doesn't want to create any sense that she belongs even to a specific nation or nationality. She hasn't told the king who she belongs to, what nationality she is. And now there's a certain danger. What's she doing hanging out with this guy Mordechai? So what she probably should have done is gone to the king and said, King, there's a plot that's against you. Someone's trying to assassinate you. The police should look into it and they'll discover whether it's true or not. But instead, Esther does something a little bit unusual. And she goes to the king and she says, I heard from this fellow named Mordechai. pasuk says, "Vatomer Esther Lamelech b'shem Mordechai." Esther says to the king in the name of Mordechai. So you could skip over that pretty easily. What's the significance of the fact that Esther said to the king in the name of Mordechai? Big deal. But the truth is that this is probably the turning point, or not necessarily a turning point right now, but this is a very critical moment in Megillas Esther. How do you know that? Why should that even be true? So there's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, in Perek Vav, Mishnah Vav in many editions, is the list of the 48 ways through which Torah is acquired. There are 48 ways that if a person has these character traits, so he'll be able to acquire the Torah. The last one on the list is Ha'omer Davar B'Shem Omro, is one who says something in the name of the one that originally said it. So in other words, if someone has a certain way to present an idea, not necessarily that it's his own idea, the idea comes from Torah, but he has a certain angle on it, he has a certain way to present it that's unique to him, so that's called Omer Davar B'Shem Omro. Then you should quote it in the one who said it, because he's not simply pointing out to you, oh, it says in Shulchan Aruch over here. He's not saying, oh, there's a pasuk over here that says like this. He has an idea that he is packaged in a certain way. So his personality, his neshama, is expressed in that idea. So in that situation, you're supposed to say what you heard in the name of the one who said it. I heard from my Rebbe the following. So the Mishnah says, Omer Davar B'Shem Omro. We learn that anyone who says something in the name of the one from whom he heard it, he's mevi geula la'olam, he brings redemption to the world. So that sounds like a pretty good idea, listening. All you gotta do is say, I heard this from a certain person, you bring the redemption to the world. So the Mishnah says, how do I know that? How do you know that if a person says something in the name of the one who he heard it from, so he brings geula la'olam, he brings redemption to the world? No problem, that's for our pasuk. Vatomer Esther la'melech b'shem Mordechai. Esther said to the king in the name of Mordechai. So when you stop to think about this Mishnah, you really start to wonder, what does that mean? Esther said to the king, in the name of Mordechai, that was maybe Geula La'olam. How in the world does the fact that Esther said to the king, the assassination plot, Mordechai told me there's someone trying to assassinate you. These fellows, Bigson and Teresh, look into it and you'll see if it's true. So how did that bring Geula La'olam? That's it's a small thing. Okay, so the king, you know, had Hakara Satov. He thanked Mordechai, perhaps. He was grateful. But where do you see Geula La'olam? Where do you see this brought to salvation? So let's work it through. Think about the rest of the story of the Megillah, and think about how critical this moment is. So the Megillah goes on. In Paragimel, we find that Haman comes to power. Haman makes a decree to kill the entire Jewish people, because Mordechai won't bow down to him. And so Haman thinks it's too, you know, embarrassing. It's going to look like he has a grudge against this one guy. So he can't just go ahead and kill this guy. He'll look like he's just a big arrogant guy. So instead, he goes ahead and he says, let's destroy the entire nation of Mordechai. And Memela, so it'll also come out that Mordechai will also be killed and he'll accomplish his goal. So the decree goes out. Esther is already queen. So Mordechai goes to Esther and says, we have to do something about this decree. So Esther says, okay, we'll fast. And I'll go to the king, even though it's extremely dangerous, and I'm likely to be killed. So she takes that risk. So what happens? On Yud Gimel Nisan, so we're talking 2 days before Pesach, the decree goes out. That day, on Yud Gimel, so Mordechai tells Esther we have to do something. So Esther says, fast for 3 days. So starting with the 14th, which is Erev Pesach, the day that when we have the Beis HaMikdash, everyone would be involved in bringing the Korban Pesach. Nowadays we're getting ready for the Seder. So on the 14th of Nisan, all the Jewish people start to fast. So they're fasting Erev Pesach, they're fasting the first day of Pesach, and they are fasting the second day of Pesach. No matzah, no maror, no Seder, they're not eating. They probably said over the Haggadah, they probably said over the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, but they weren't eating, they were fasting for those days. So Esther finally decides she's going to go to the king. So she goes to the king on the third day, the second day of Pesach, and when she gets there, the king extends his scepter, pardoning her so that she won't be killed for violating the decree that no one's allowed to just approach the king. So he says, Esther, my queen, what can I do for you? And she says, well, I'm making a party. I'd like you to come. And Haman too. So the king and Haman are invited to the party. Now, of course, this creates a certain curiosity or paranoia, perhaps, on the part of Ahasuerus. Why is it that the only other person that's invited is Haman? Why is Esther inviting Haman? Be that as it may, they both come to the party, and the king says, okay, Esther, what can we do for you? It's a very nice party. Now, what do you want? She says, I want that you should come back for another party tomorrow. So Ahasuerus likes parties. He says, Gevalik, sounds like a great idea. See you tomorrow. And Haman too. Okay, Haman too. So that's the schedule. Schedule of events is, at the third day of Pesach, there's going to be another party. This is where the main events of Megillas Esther occur now. Haman is excited as anything. He was the only one, other than Ahasuerus, that Esther called to this party. And he is on cloud nine. He is one of the most important people in the world, second only to Ahasuerus. So he marches outside of the palace with his chin up in the air and his head swelled up like a balloon. And of course, what's the first thing that he encounters? Mordechai. And Mordechai looks at him and says, I'm not bowing to you. Whether he says that or not, but that's what Haman sees. So Haman sees Mordechai, the one person in the entire world that won't bow down to Haman. And he is incensed. He can't deal with this. And he says in his mind, what am I going to do with this guy, Mordechai? Terrible. How could he possibly say, how could he do that to me? I'm Haman. I'm the only one other than Ahasuerus at the party. And he goes home and he tells Zeresh, his wife, about this whole incident and the party and then Mordechai. And she says, so kill him. So Haman thinks this is a great idea. Kill Mordechai. Kill Mordechai. Kill Mordechai. Until now, Haman has thought that it's not right. It looks like he's too arrogant to just go ahead and kill Mordechai. But now he's so incensed that finally he gives in to the urge to just have Mordechai killed. So he decides that's what he's going to do, but he can't just do it on his own. After all, Mordechai is even involved to some degree in the government. So he has to get permission from the king, from Ahasuerus. Now, of course, it's after the party. It's getting late. It's the middle of the night. So Haman is not going to go yet, but what's going on in the palace? So meanwhile, in the palace, the king Ahasuerus, remember, he just sat at this party with Esther and Haman, so who knows how much he had to drink. He's probably ready to pass out like a baby. And instead, the critical moment of the Megillah, perhaps the most obvious hand of Hashem, Nadidosh Nas HaMelech, the king couldn't sleep. There's no reason why the king shouldn't be sleeping right now. So what happens? He couldn't sleep. So he asks that someone should bring him his Gemara. No. He asks that someone should bring him his Divrei Hayomim, his book of Chronicles, his book that says all of the things that happened in his kingdom, people that have done wonderful things for him. And they bring him the book, and they start reading to him. And of course, where does the book open up to? It opens up to exactly the moment that Mordechai tells Esther, Bigson and Teresh have a plot to assassinate the king. And Esther comes and tells the king. And Esther says, in whose name? In the name of Mordechai. So it says in the book that Mordechai, the Jew, Mordechai, Yehudi, informed the king of a plot that Bigson and Teresh were out to assassinate the king. So the king says, so what did we do to reward Mordechai? And they say, nothing. So the king decides it's really not right. We really should reward Mordechai for doing such a righteous act, for saving the life of the king. Meanwhile, Haman is on his way to the palace. All he can think to himself is, kill Mordechai, kill Mordechai, kill Mordechai, kill Mordechai, kill Mordechai. And he's wandering around, he's pacing back and forth. He's just waiting for it to be early enough that he can march into the palace to the king and request Mordechai's head. Meanwhile, of course, Haman has already built this tree, these gallows, that's waiting to hang Mordechai on. And all he needs is just waiting for permission to do it. So Haman's pacing around in the garden outside of the palace. And the king's inside the palace thinking to himself, how can we honor Mordechai? You know, I really wish that I had one of my great advisors here, because right now, if they were here, I'd be able to discuss this with them and figure out a good plan how to reward Mordechai. And one of the king's servants looks out the window and says, hey, king! Hey! Haman's right outside! So the king says, Haman's here! Gevaldik! That's exactly who I need to speak to. Bring him in! So they bring in Haman. Haman's marching in. Kill Mordechai! Kill Mordechai! Kill Mordechai! Kill Mordechai! So the king says, hey, Haman, how you doing? Kill Mordechai! Hey, king, how you doing? Great. Well, I have a favor to ask of you, Haman. Kill Mordechai, kill Mordechai, kill Mordechai. Yes, king. I need to reward someone. someone that I think is very important and very close to my heart. What do you think we should do to someone whom the king would like to honor? Haman's thinking to himself, kill Mordechai, kill Mordechai. Honor, honor, honor. Who would the king want to honor more than me? Me, he wants to honor me. What should we do? King, well, I think like this. Maybe we should take the king's horse, the king's royal robes, the king's crown, my crown. Okay, not the crown, but you know, like dressed up more or less like the king, and someone should march him around looking very royal. Suddenly, the king's suspicions are aroused. Remember, Esther had just invited only the king and Haman to the party, which the king thought was slightly suspicious. Why exactly is Haman being invited to this? And then, Haman walks in, and when the king wants to honor someone, so Haman is giving this impression that he was the one that wants to be honored. And this is what he would imagine is the greatest honor in the world, is to be marched around like the king himself. So Ahasuerus becomes very suspicious and very paranoid that Haman is really out to either assassinate, take over, create a coup, something. There's something sketchy going on with this character, Haman. But then get this. So then the king says, great, I think that's a fantastic idea, Haman. Why don't you go do that, too? And if you can imagine what's going on in Haman's head right now, honor, honor, kill Mordechai, kill Mordechai. Go do that to Mordechai the Jew. What? And Haman's face, of course, his chin's now on the floor, and he says he was on his way to request Mordechai's head, and instead it turns around, v'nahafochu, now he's supposed to take Mordechai himself. The king obviously was trying to degrade Haman by this. He could have had any servant march around Mordechai. But instead, the king is a little bit paranoid of Haman, and he wants to put him down a little, put him in his place. So Haman, you go ahead and you take Mordechai through the streets. So sure enough, that's what happens. So Haman's marching around Mordechai through the streets, and there's the famous Medrash that when he marched by his house, his daughter sees this man being honored and assumes it must be her father. So she takes the toilet and dumps it out onto the driver's head, whoever's pulling the horse. Then when she realizes it was her father, she jumps off of the roof, killing herself. But be that as it may, so Haman has finished marching Mordechai through the streets, and he goes home to take a little bath, and the messengers of the king come and say, come on, Haman, it's time for the party, we gotta go, and Haman's like, I gotta shower, they're like, no time, let's go. So there he is, they're pulling Haman, and he's going back to the party. So Haman comes to the party, he's having a bad day, and he comes and he sits down, he makes a little l'chaim, and the king says, okay, Esther, this is a beautiful second party. The chicken is scrumptious. What can we do for you? What exactly do you have in mind? So Esther finally says, all I want is that I should be able to be spared, my life to be spared. The king says, your life? Who's threatened your life? She says, my entire people are in danger. There's a decree against my people. Who would do such a thing, says the king? And Esther turns to Haman and says, Haman hara hazeh, this evil guy, Haman. And Haman turns to the queen and he says, this is the worst day of my life. The king is so upset, he marches outside, he's trying to control himself, he doesn't know what to do, he walks back in, and there is Haman begging for his life, but in the perception of the king, or according to the Medrash, HaMalach even threw Haman on top of Esther, that Haman looks like he is actually on top of Esther trying to do something in a more sexual manner, and the king explodes at him and says, off with his head. And that is the end of Haman. So let's think about this for a minute. What was the moment that created this major suspicion against Haman? What's the moment that actually allows for the destruction of Haman and eventually the repealing of the decree against destroying the Jewish people? That moment originally is when Esther said in the name of Mordechai. Why? Because when the king's reading through this book, so if it had been Esther that told him, so the king would have said, great, we should reward Esther. We should give her something. Maybe we'll give her an extra bowl of soup. Maybe we'll buy her a new diamond necklace. We'll put another stone on her crown. But it's the queen. But since it was Mordechai, so the king wanted to do something to honor Mordechai. Since the king wanted to do something, so he goes ahead and he asks Haman. So Haman thinks that the king wants to honor him. And then when the Haman responds with what to do, that creates this certain paranoia in the mind of Ahasuerus. And that is the beginning of the downfall of Haman. That's when the king realizes there's something sketchy about Haman, and it just takes one more straw of Esther, this guy is trying to kill me, and then when Haman is falling on the bed that Esther is on, that's totally the end of it, and that's when Haman is killed. So when we think about it, Vatomer Esther LaMelech b'shem Mordechai, this is a critical moment that when she said in the name of Mordechai, that's what enabled this nace of Purim to happen, that created the paranoia in Achashverosh, that was the beginning of the end of the downfall of Haman, and that's what it means that one who says something, the name of who said it, Homer Davar b'shem Omro, may be Geula la'olam, brings redemption to the world, brings it salvation. How do you know? Vatomer Esther LaMelech b'shem Mordechai.